So pleased to have with us now from Westwood One Radio, James Lofton, Hall of Famer, wide receiver, and former coach in this league. He's really done it all, and he's kind enough to join us to help us preview Sunday's championship games. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, Vic. Thanks for having me, and it is always great catching up with you.
Yes, and same here, my friend. And when we first talk about the AFC championship game, because you'll be there for Westwood One as an analyst, the thing that strikes me is this: ideally having great offense in the form of the Patriots versus great defense in the Ravens is exactly what you want. But there's another part of me that also says that I'm not sure what to believe in as the formula for great success in the NFL. Should we buy into the notion that you don't need great defense, that as long as you got Tom Brady and an offense that can hang as many points as the Patriots do on opponents, that's good enough?
It really does seem like that is the case, and what you're talking about is a Patriot offense that during the regular season, 16 regular season games, 12 of those games they scored 30 points or more, and they did average 32 points a game. We see it in every sport. You see it in baseball. Great pitching thwarts great hitting late in the year, so it will be very interesting to see if great defense can thwart a great offense, and really to have to do it on the road. One of the keys to the Baltimore Ravens' success is that they were 9-0, counting their playoff win, at home this year. And they're almost a different team at home than they are on the road. You know, we hear that so often. But it is true to a certain extent. It's hard to transfer that energy that you feel from your crowd. And also, people toss this out too often, crowd noise. Right. Crowd noise allows your defensive unit to make the offense play with the mute button on. And by that, I mean, now that offensive tackle in a passing situation isn't reacting to the quarterback's hut, but he's reacting to the movement of that defensive lineman across from him.
Tom Brady, it's just been remarkable to see what he's able to accomplish, continues to be able to accomplish at a late stage of his career, if we can call it that. And I think we can. He still looks, it just looks like he's, I guess, just getting started. But 5,235 passing yards, and to be a guy, and then 39 touchdown passes to 12 interceptions, to be a guy who's that dialed in and that focused, and still finding a way, as much as opponents have been able to research him pretty well and figure out a lot of the things that he does well, it doesn't matter. It seems as if he still goes out there and plays his game, and good luck trying to play your game against him.
Well, I think we saw something in Tom Brady this last year that, you know, a lot of casual observers might not witness a lot. But the little mini feud that he and Bill O'Brien had, the offensive coordinator who's now headed to Penn State after the season is over, they had that little mini feud on the sideline. And the Patriots were inside the red zone. They were about the 12-yard line. And Tom Brady threw an interception. He threw it on first down,
right,
which is a cardinal sin in football, because every offensive coordinator will tell you, if it's not there, just get us to the next down. Well, Tom forced the ball in. It wasn't there. And they came and they had a heated conversation on the sideline. And it's funny because you see how competitive Tom Brady is. He's upset because he made the mistake. Bill O'Brien's upset because Tom made the mistake. And now Tom is upset because Bill is calling them on it, you know, kind of embarrassing him in front of his teammates. But they put that behind them, obviously. And, you know, I think that just shows you the spark and the fire within Tom Brady, because, I mean, they were well ahead in that ball game. They right. had the thing salted away. But he's a perfectionist. There were some throws in last week's ball game where he threw six touchdowns, but he was frustrated on a couple that just easy plays that he missed on. Welker, and he didn't hook up on a play, and they were, you know, having a vacation discussion with each other as they came off the field. But it's so great to see that fire burn, and I think that's what really drives great players. And the Patriots have a lot of young, good players. I think greatness is defined as guys get older, and Tom Brady's great, but you look at Welker, he's very good. Hernandez, Gronkowski, and even Deion Branch, you know, adds an element to this team of maturity that you get with those skilled players. But that offensive line, last week, Tom Brady, I wish they had been playing in mud, because Tom Brady's uniform would not have needed washing after the game was over.
And, you know, you bring up Wes Welker, led the league with 122 catches. He was second in yards, had the franchise record with 1,500. 169 yards in the league. He was, yeah, second in the league in yards, and that was a franchise record. And no one, I mean, the guy lines up in the slot, and again, we've seen him do this for years, and there's still no answer for covering him. But now the problem for defenses is compounded. You mentioned Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, the tight ends. Who's covering those guys? Because I'm just watching what they do, particularly Gronkowski with his remarkable power and size, and seeing this guy get 1,327 receiving yards, 17 touchdown catches. He just physically, there isn't a match. There doesn't seem to be anyone defensively who can take this guy and even slow him down.
Well, I think when you look at the big receivers in the NFL, the wide receivers, and you get a guy who's 6'4", 225 pounds, or you get a guy like Calvin Johnson, 6'5", 236, why not get a big tight end and throw those guys the ball? Gronkowski, I'm looking at him, 6'6", 265. If he came into the league 10 years ago, they would have said, oh, wait, great, we got a great blocking tight end. And then you throw him the ball on bootlegs and things like that. But I think that the Patriots have to be credited for really thinking out of the box with these two young players, because Gronkowski was injured a little bit his senior year. Hernandez, you saw him as a jack of all trades in that wide open offense that they were running down at the University of Miami. And I think they've taken their different skill sets and really put them into their offense. They didn't say, okay, these are what the things that tight ends normally do. They changed that. And Aaron Hernandez, before last week's game, I started the game off, I said, well, the tough matchup is he can line up in four different positions. He can line up at fullback, H-back, which is your extra tight end. He can line up at tight end, or he can line up at wide receiver. Well, I missed one. He also lined up at running back. He had over 50 yards in carries in the first quarter.
Yep.
And, you know, you talk about, and I have to say I took this from Moneyball, they talk about a five-tool player. Now we have a five-tool tight end in football, a guy who can line up in five different positions.
Yep, no question about that. We're visiting with James Lofton, Hall of Famer, and he is an analyst on the Westwood One radio coverage of Sunday's AFC Championship game in Foxborough. And, James, as far as the Ravens are concerned, same team, I mean, same basic formula that we saw this team with a few different cast members, but that we saw when they advanced to Super Bowl 35 and beat the Giants in that game 34-7. It's about defense, and it's about dominance on that side of the ball. And I love this quote from Terrell Suggs. He said, I always say there is a right way to do things, there is a wrong way to do things, and there is just a Ravens way of doing things. And I think that sums it up, because of the pressure that he can bring to the quarterback, the run stopping that they can provide, third overall in defense. And really, you know, I know they'll be fretting over whether Joe Flacco's ever going to realize the level of talent that the Ravens expected as making him a first-round draft pick and so forth, and where's the passing game, the explosiveness going to come from. But Ray Rice runs the football. They run it well. They play great defense. That's what's going to either get them to the Super Bowl or not.
Well, it could possibly get them to the Super Bowl because they're one game away. But we talked about at the outset of this, what's the formula for winning in the NFL? And I really believe now the formula is being able to throw the football and being able to outscore your opponent. I don't want to hear about running the football and playing great defense, because the rules are just so much in favor of the offense. The receivers are protected. You know, you can't hit a defenseless receiver. You can only hit the quarterback below the shoulders and above the knees. And I'm not sure if you can get more than one step after he throws that ball, because in last week's game, I saw one where it was less than a step. The quarterback was hit, and a flag was still thrown. So the quarterbacks are ultra-protected. I think the defenses know that. And you also see the defense having to measure itself as to where it can hit that receiver or that runner when that guy's going down the field. Now, Tom Brady threw over 600 passes in the regular season, and he was only sacked 32 times.
Right.
That's one out of, I think, 20, if my math is correct. So if he's going to drop back to pass against the Ravens 40 times, they may get one sack against him or two sacks. I don't know if that's enough to slow him down, but what you really need to be able to get against Tom Brady is you need to be able to get hits on him, and you need to get those hits early so that like any quarterback, maybe he's getting the ball out of his hands a little bit early. Maybe he's moving. He's not able to just stride into his throws. But if he's able to get those quick throws, and if you do have to blitz him, and he's back in the shotgun, and Tom Brady's a good, tall quarterback who stands erect, he's going to be able to see where that defensive lineman who's not rushing is dropping out, because the Ravens like to play games with you up front offensively. And Tom Brady, if he reads those things and they get it going, and they don't tackle well on the back end, the Patriots could put up a lot of points against the Raven defense.
Speaking of defenses and strong ones, the 49ers certainly have that going for them. And I guess that's the real key here in the story of their ability to perhaps handle what the Giants do. And the Giants play some pretty good defense of their own with that really strong defensive front, that four-man line that they can bring and rotate and so forth. But as I look at the 49ers, Justin Smith, Aldon Smith, and then I look at Eli Manning, I just wonder if this is where that remarkable explosiveness that Manning and his receivers have going for him possibly comes to an end.
Well, the one thing that the Giants try and do is they try and run the football because it sets up their play-action passing game. So if you're trying to run it, and between Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs, they average just under 4 yards a carry, which is nothing spectacular. But what they're doing is they're keeping those linebackers honest because they are going to run the football, so you've got to come up and make some tackles. You come up and make tackles, you take that one step forward on the play-action pass. Now there's a gap between the linebackers and the deep secondary, because that secondary is kind of an umbrella look where they want to keep a lot of things in front of them. But the key for the Giants, I believe, is Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, the run after the catch. And we've seen it all year long, especially from Victor Cruz. We saw it from Hakeem Nicks last week. If they get a chance to run after the catch, they are very elusive, both of them very strong, and they take care of the football down the field also.
Do you have questions about Alex Smith's ability to carry whatever part of the offensive load he might be asked to do so? I know it's all about Frank Gore and running that Jim Harbaugh has going there, but Alex Smith was the guy who delivered the plays that were necessary to help the 49ers beat the Saints. Do you see him able to do the same thing against this Giant team, especially against that pass rush?
Well, yeah, and you're right. One of the things that the Saints lacked all year long was a pass rush. Their leading sack person was Roman Harper, their strong safety. So you take a New York Giant team that when you look at that front four and you walk up to the line of scrimmage and you're the quarterback, I think you're going, oh, crap. They've got four guys at every position who can come after me. And then they have Matthias Kiwanuka, who used to be a defensive end, who's now playing linebacker, and you just think he's going to come after you. So they've got five pass rushers, you know, dominant pass rushers right up front. Chris Canty in the middle is playing great football right now. And Jason Pierre-Paul, Justin Tuck, those guys are a handful and a load to deal with. O.C. Umenyiora, whose name is even tough to say. So these pass rushers can come after you, get after you, all on their lonesome, which allows you to function in the back with your secondary, with your linebackers. They can do their job. Now, the one thing that these pass rushers do is they love to get up the field. So when you get up the field, you leave some run lanes. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to try and play the run, you're not going to get up the field as quickly. So maybe Alex Smith on first down, a little play-action passing from him. Maybe Michael Crabtree comes up big in this ballgame. He's a talented kid. He's good underneath, and he has great hands, and he'll catch the ball in traffic.
He is James Lofton, the Hall of Fame wide receiver and an analyst with Westwood One. He will be on that radio coverage of Sunday's AFC Championship game in Foxborough, Mass. James, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Vic, always great catching up with you, and I'm excited about watching this week's ball games.
Yeah, me too. Looking forward to it. Okay, we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.